Hey everybody, Trent Stout with the Topsoil Podcast. We are super pumped that we made it to our fifth week. Thank you for all the support, all the comments, all of the messages we've been receiving. As always, we're trying to bring you the best content that we can find, and we are really excited about our speaker this week. We have lined up for you Delaney Howe from Market to Market, a local Southeast Iowa native and a tremendous resource for the agricultural community. We cannot wait to get her mic'd up and in the studio starting tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. Okay, welcome back into the Topsoil Podcast, world headquarters here, Ainsworth, Iowa, here with Mitch Hora, my co-host, has a consulting business, Continuum Ag, here in Washington, Iowa. I am Trent Stout. I have a seed business, Stout Seed, also located in Ainsworth, Iowa, Washington County. And this theme of the week is it's still cold. And soil temps are 34 degrees this morning on what I saw. It's funny, we joke. Gabe Brown came and did a talk here in February.
Yes.
Early February.
Yep.
And he always talks about how his shortened window, what a shortened window he has at a growing season.
Yeah.
And I think he jinxed us.
Yeah.
So
now we're experiencing North Dakota.
Yeah, this is gonna be like North Dakota. So and all joking aside, I did get some phone calls today, guys wondering when they should start thinking about, maybe staying away from such longest season hybrids and starting to shorten things up. And I think obviously that's premature, but I think guys are looking at a multitude of things. One is our anhydrous situation. If guys are putting on anhydrous, is not where they want it to be.
Yeah.
If they're putting on any kind of spring pre-fertilizer, probably not where they want to be.
No.
So there, we're looking at these time windows, and we know that we can get some rain in May that can push things back. And all of a sudden, if you're covering any acres whatsoever out there, you're probably starting to get a little nervous.
Yeah.
So that's a good question. I mean, Iowa State's always kind of used this magical date of May 15th, but there's a lot of research that's been coming out with these newer hybrids that kind of look at lending credibility to the argument that maybe we shouldn't be planting corn before beans. Maybe we should be planting beans and capturing sunlight as long as we can.
For the beans.
Yeah. For the beans.
Sure.
And that corn is, by its nature, is a warm season grass.
Right.
And you want it to be 55 degrees.
Yeah.
Or if you look at like things that are comparable, like Sudan grass, you want it to be 60 degrees and warming soil temperatures. So we've always said, 50 degrees is bare minimum to get that corn seed to germinate and do what it needs to do.
Right.
But is that too early? Maybe we should be looking at pushing things back since we can handle so much more stressors now.
Yeah.
So it's a real good question. Is it premature? Maybe, but it's, it's got guys thinking.
Yeah, but still, we've got another week or 10 days before we can really get going with the forecast and stuff the way it is. Like, I mean, throughout Iowa and throughout the Midwest, there's not going to be much stuff moving here again this week.
Sure. So what do you think on, like, when I say May 15, I'm talking about Iowa. And, obviously, I said Iowa State's research, but what do you believe about that? Let's just tackle that one spot. Do you believe that maybe just fundamentally that we should be planting corn later, that we should be okay with planting corn later?
I mean, it definitely makes sense, because the soybeans, in order to go through their maturity, they go off of photoperiod rather than just heat units like corn does. So that does make a lot of sense, that you could play to that a lot more. But most people, they're worried about their beans freezing off.
Right.
Is why they don't typically plant those early.
100%.
So then if they come up and they freeze off, then you're done. Where with your corn, your growing point is still below ground and you're fine if it freezes off for the most part.
But we've got guys planting corn or soybeans. That guy was in the Illinois Farmer Today from Illinois.
Yeah.
We'll try and cue that story up for you guys out there. But last year made some pretty good headlines because he planted, like, February 24th was planting soybeans.
Jeez.
It got snowed on like three times.
And
they still yielded 84 bushels.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, So, yeah, so I think that there's some real concerns there, but with the advancement in genetics, with the advancement in seed treatments, you know, where are you at on that? What are you guys doing in your operation? Soybeans first, corn first?
No, I mean, the plan is still to keep doing corn first.
Okay.
But, yeah, that does bring up some good points on waiting and letting things get a little bit better. And part of where we're at, too, with all the cover crops, you know, trying to cater to the cover crop a little bit, too, that we're wanting to let our cover crop continue growing and then plant our soybeans into that. So as that cover crop continues to grow, you can, you know, wait and wait and wait, then plant your soybeans into it when it's plenty tall.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. I was reading something, though, that guys were talking kind of right along this subject about, okay, can I go and get my soybeans planted first and wait on killing off my cover crop for like a long while?
Yeah.
And that'd probably be a pretty good idea, a fairly good thing to do. And essentially, a big piece of that would be on helping to get the ground dried out too.
And
since it is wet right now, you know, utilizing that cover crop to get some transpiration going and utilizing some of that water, keeping things a little bit more mellow for us.
Yeah, and we brought this up last week just for you guys that aren't maybe from this geography, our cover crop is just starting to green up.
Yeah.
I mean, like last week we had a little break of some warm weather,
yeah,
and it did green up quite a bit and probably doubled in size.
Yeah.
And when I say doubled, I mean they went from like an inch to 2 inches.
Yeah.
You know, like it's super small yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And usually it's knee high.
Oh,
or better,
yeah,
by this point.
Right. Usually we're spraying early part of April because ahead of corn because
right,
it's getting tall.
So it does present this unique situation in which we could plant soybeans,
yeah,
and literally forget about killing the rye.
Right. Leave it.
And that
for another month or month and a half.
Yeah. And then come back like you would just on like a first pass, right?
Right. Of your post-emerge.
Or even even longer, right? Or maybe
yeah,
it's even like a second pass type of a situation.
Yeah. Wait, don't really spray it until, yeah, middle or end of May.
I'd love to hear feedback on that.
That'd be awesome.
Is anybody out there that's listening, is anybody thinking about that? Like, we would love to hear your
comments. So waiting, yeah, people that are going to go ahead and do soybeans first. Because the whole worry there, you know, being that they'll freeze off.
Right.
I was looking at, so, you know, we're in southeast Iowa, so a little bit warmer than a lot of the rest of the state.
Okay.
They got a lot more snow than what we did. We got a little bit of snow here over the weekend, maybe inch and a half or so. I'm not sure what the official is, but most of it's all gone that, you know, unless it was kind of piled up. But it's pretty much all gone. As far as planting those soybeans early, you know, of course the issue is on temperature and freezing off. But if you've got the cover crop out there, kind of creating an insulation layer, it's got a microclimate there that it's going to keep things a little bit warmer. And the forecast for this week shows lows in like the low 30s, but not necessarily below freezing. So maybe it would still be okay. You know?
Yeah, sure.
You can go out there and get those planted. The other thing too is talking to some local farmers that they were talking about part of planting early is that you can get ahead of some of the disease cycles. So those diseases have to have certain heat units,
sure,
a lot of them, in order to get reactivated and growing. So if you go out there and you plant ahead of time, let that crop get up and grow, and then by the time those disease cycles turn full cycle, then your corn is already, or your corn or your soybeans are already up and growing, and they're beyond where they can really get hurt.
Right.
I think we were talking about Pythium there specifically.
Sure.
So planting your corn out there when the soil is still kind of cold or a little bit early, and I mean those cycles, I don't know if they would have got kind of jump started because we had a little bit of warm weather, or if a lot of the microbes out there are still just kind of sitting, not really doing anything. I mean, we've seen our respiration scores and that are still okay right now. I mean, definitely responding and things are happening. I was looking at data that we pulled here 2 weeks ago, and it was pretty nice out, and our microbial activity looks pretty good. But so that's another interesting point, you know, that by getting out there and planting, even though conditions are not great, maybe that there are a couple other benefits that you can tap into.
Right. Well, and I think it's pretty common knowledge that your economic return on like seed treatments for protection of Pythium and Fusarium and these
here early
are definitely like higher at the beginning of the planting season. And then as you move into warmer temperatures, warmer rain cycles, you know, you have a less
of that's a lot of that's on your quickness of your crop to get growing
100%
and avoiding stress of that crop.
Which
I think so what these guys are looking at though, as far as getting planted early is it's stressed, but the disease is not woken up. It's not in the right environment for the disease to work.
Right.
The disease triangle is still not complete.
Yep.
So you don't have the susceptible host, but you don't have the pathogen up and going and present.
And the time window of when it affects that plant is relatively small. So
you can get beyond it. I don't know.
So I think that lends some credibility to the idea that maybe we should be thinking more about our soil temperatures. And we've talked a lot about that especially with corn, right?
Right.
Like if we plant later on corn and okay, so here's a question. How many heat units do you think that we really lose? And I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. I mean, and not necessarily as a rational number, but just like a lot or not, maybe not as much as we would think. But how many heat units do you think that we lose planting April 15th versus planting May 15th?
Oh.
You know, I mean, I know that it's variable year by year, but.
Sure, definitely.
And we've done it ourselves. We planted corn first week of April, and it sits there for 2 weeks.
Right.
You're not picking up any heat units there. It's still sitting there, right? So, I mean, getting it in there versus
You could wait another month, and it's out of the ground in 4 days.
Exactly. How much heat units did we really lose? I mean, I think we're always betting on the come line a little bit and thinking that things are just going to warm up. You know, get in, plant it, and things are going to warm up. Well, we're seeing this year, not the case, right?
Not at all.
So some years, obviously, greater than others, but, you know, it's interesting.
That's another interesting point, though, you know, for waiting, are you going to be at the same point as somebody that's going to get out there and plant corn right away?
Sure.
You know, is that guy that's going to wait another 2 weeks here in a month, is our corn going to look the same?
Right. Sometimes life's a cake. I ran my mouth off. Too much of what did I say? Well, you just laughed it off. It was all okay.